Namaste. This is Pat.
Namaste, Pat Henderson. How you doing?
Man, I don't call my full name.
I see you still Pat. You still Pat. What do you want to be called?
Oh,
just
my
Pat?
God.
Just Pat?
They're recording. They're recording.
That's the first I ever heard of that.
What?
Don't call me by my full name. I like my full name.
I don't. Just do Ruby. That's enough. I don't even ask people their full name when I'm talking to them. When I meet someone, I say, hi, my name is Ruby. Because most time, I ain't going to remember what you said no way, so, you know. So I call you baby, darling, sugar.
Sunshine.
There you go. Oh, Lord. Laughter is good for the soul, y'all.
Amen.
If you can make somebody smile, you've done something good this day.
Well, it is 7 p.m. Good evening. Welcome, caller. Oh, my. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Namaste. How's everyone percolating today?
All right, Brother Percolator. How you doing?
Doing well, brother. I hope all is well with each of you.
Doing good. You're doing good. Having a little laughter going on here. Good evening, welcome caller.
Good evening, this is Maddie.
Oh, good evening, Maddie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's everybody else?
Wonderful, wonderful. Good evening, welcome caller. Good evening, welcome to the call. All right. This is 7:01 p.m. on this 30th day of July 2024, and we are ready to begin our walk in the Word. Tonight we have a special presentation. So, greetings, ambassadors of Christ. We are excited about tonight's session entitled Building Christian Character, Traits in Our Children. Facilitated by the one and only Sister Tori Story. We welcome each and one of you all to the call. And we welcome you to the three P's, praise, prayer, and don't forget the E, enlightenment, equipping the saints in accordance with Matthew 28:19. So we're going to begin tonight with prayer. My sister Patricia Henderson, Pastor Richard McKiper will pray for our children, and our song tonight will be by Sister Ebony Spencer. We are ready to begin.
I'll open the prayer by Brother Everett tonight. Deacon Clarence, and then Sister Pat is going to join Pastor Kuiper with praying for the children.
All right, Deacon Percolator, you ready?
Yes, sir. Father God Almighty, we come to you this evening, God, to glorify you and to praise you because you are our Father. You are God, the one and only true and living God. You are God, our one and our only source. You are God that we rely on, depend on, God, because you are omniscient, God. You know all things. God, we praise you. We glorify you. We look to you because, God, you are omnipotent. You are all-powerful. God, we trust and we rely on you, God, for you are sovereign. Your power rules and super rules over this entire world and universe. And God, we are grateful that we are your children. We are grateful that we have direct access to you. We are grateful, God, that you have looked past our faults and our sins, and you have blessed us with another day of life. For your grace and your mercy has continued to be with us. And for that, God, we want to say thank you. God, we are seeking your forgiveness for our sins. We ask of you, God, will you create in us a clean heart? Father God, will you renew in us a right spirit? Father, thank you for loving us so that you allowed your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die and redeem us from a life of sin. Thank you, Jesus, for being our strength. Thank you for healing our bodies. Thank you, Jesus, for healing our minds. Thank you, Jesus, for ushering us in peace into our lives when things all around us seem to be falling apart. Jesus, thank you for being everything that we need. And we want to thank you, Jesus, for being our intercessor. Jesus, you have always taken care of us. You've always caused us to triumph. We want to thank you. We want to thank you, Jesus, that you did not think it robbery to pray to our Father to send us another helper, a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And God, we are grateful that we have the indwelling presence of your voice, our personal assistant, your Holy Spirit, that speaks to us, leads us in the way of truth, reminds us of how blessed we are. Even when Satan is trying to snatch our peace, your Holy Spirit and his sweet voice speaks to us and reminds us of how blessed we are, how we have overcome situations before. So we are so grateful, God, that we have you as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. And God, we are grateful that you have given us teachers on this line. You've given us Dr. Singleton, who brings the word of truth to us. And we ask your blessings upon her as she goes out into the community, as she, Father God, ministers to the homeless, as she tries to help everyone that she comes in contact with, how she spreads the word of gospel with simplicity and understanding. I just pray will you continue, God, to just build her up in your word. Continue, God, to send an allegiance of angels to be in camp around her and keep her safe. I pray your blessings upon her family, her sons, her daughter-in-law. And I just ask for your continued blessings into her life and protection on her life. Lord, I thank you for Apostle Ali outside. I thank you for how you give her simplicity and understanding to bring forth your word with clarity, Lord. I pray your blessings upon her. I thank you, Lord, that her granddaughter's made it back home safe, and I pray that you continue to just cover her and her entire family. Lord, I thank you for all the other ministers and pastors of the gospel of Jesus Christ, asking, Lord, that you will be with them, asking that you will continue to guide them, asking, Lord, that you will continue, Father God, to give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. God, you are omniscient, and you know all things. So I'm asking in the name of Jesus that whatever we and our family stand in need of, we are trusting and relying on you, God, that you will supply all our needs according to your glories and riches in Christ Jesus. And God, when we disconnect from this line this evening, infuse us with your strength, Holy Spirit, and give us the spirit of discernment to know how we are to benefit to others, and most importantly, that we are humbling ourselves before others, that they may see you shining through our hearts and our minds. These things we ask of you, God, in the powerful and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 Sister Ebony Spencer.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the call.
Yes, thank you, thank you. So today I'll also be singing with my husband, Alante Spencer. And
Lord, if I find favor in your sight, Lord, please hear my heart cry. I'm desperately waiting to be where you are, across the hottest desert. I'll travel near and far for your love.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I've got to be where you are. I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Peace is where you are. Joy is where you are. And love is who you are. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. Amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. So now, we're going to talk about building Christian character and traits in our children, facilitated by Sister Tony's story.
Amen, amen. Deacon Connor, we're going to come and just to give a few words about Sister Tony prior to her coming. Want to say good evening to each of those that are joining with us in our Tuesday Walk in the Word. As you all know, we implemented our fifth Tuesday as a time that is dedicated to our children, our youth, our young adults, as well as to our parents, grandparents, and those that have an influence in the life of children. I want to read a couple of verses from the Word of God, and then we will come and introduce Sister Tony on tonight. Proverbs 22:6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Psalms 127:3-5 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And here's what Jesus says in Mark 10:13-16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. This evening, we have invited our sister to come and share with us the building blocks or the Christian building blocks and traits that we desire to develop in our children. Our sister is born again. She's made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration. She is connected to the true vine, John 15. She allows the word to dwell in her richly, Colossians 3:16. She is an ambassador of Christ. She's one, you all, that meditates in the word both day and night.
Yes, she's a wife. Yes, she's a mother, a grandmother. And yes, you all, she is our sister, because we too have made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration, and that we are walking in the command that God has given us of Matthew 28:19-20. We are co-laborers. We are co-workers in the ministry. So this evening, I'm going to ask each of us if we would please put our phones on mute, but open our Bibles as she begins to walk us through the Word of God tonight. Let us pick up our pen and have our paper handy so that we can write down scriptures and write down nuggets, as well as you may have a question or something to add to this discussion on tonight. So again, let us welcome our very own sister, Sister Toni Story. She was with us, as a matter of fact, in June last month. She was here in Macon. So tonight, we have asked her to come and share with us as we look at character traits to develop in our children, Christian building blocks. Our very own sister, Toni Story.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, our beloved Sister Deborah, our leader in the Word of God, his disciple. Thank you so much for that generous introduction. Also, shout out to all the saints there in Macon and other places who may have joined us back home in Utah, Alabama, the different cities. It's a blessing always to be asked to share the Word of God. I count it a privilege, and I count it a very serious thing and blessing to do and to be entrusted with his word. So therefore, I want to go before the Lord in prayer. And if we will all agree together today based on his scriptures to come into alignment. Father God, and we just thank you today for this opportunity again to hear from your word, not from me, but to hear from Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, Lord, I just thank you that he will bring those things back to my remembrance, what I need, because I've studied those things, Lord, and that you will get the glory. So therefore, I will decrease and allow your word to increase and be primary during this study. I want to thank you in the name of Jesus for all that you do and say through me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. And every time Sister Deborah asks me to do something like this, I really don't feel like I'm an expert at some of these subjects. I have had the privilege of raising 3 children. They didn't go to jail. They got an education. And most of all 3 of them are saved, and they're confident in their salvation, and they're walking in it. But also tonight, the topic that Sister Deborah wanted me to share from was building character in our children through the different words that she had there in the link for me. And that was one was honesty and integrity. And then I had one, confidence, one of my own that the Holy Spirit led me to. And I want to share that with you tonight. Hope you get some understanding for it. As I said, I wasn't the perfect mother, but what I did do, I did it intentionally in agreement with my husband. It was based on the word, and it was just fortunate that the Holy Spirit, you know, that point in our Christian walk, we were striving to know him better, and we wanted to do it differently. We wanted to do it his way and not our way, because we really hadn't seen it his way, nor were we raised that way. I'm not saying anything negative against my parents or grandparents, except I was taken to church, okay? I really didn't get it day by day, you know, anywhere with any kind of systematic teaching. So I got some, and what I did get, I thank the Lord for that. But by them doing what they did, trying to teach me right, I guess, some things, a couple of things that I'm going to share tonight, it stuck with me. But I knew
there was more, and there was more when I became saved. I knew it was more teaching that I needed, and it was a lot of teaching that I needed when I began to be responsible for these gifts of children that he had given us, and we wanted them. And even now that he's blessed us with, we got four grandchildren now, four-year-old, two-year-old, six-and-a-half-month-old, and a almost three-month-old. So now I get a do-over. So anything I may have not got right the first time, he's given me another opportunity with our grandchildren, and thank the Lord, our children are allowing us to have some input. And as a matter of fact, now we have begun teaching them the word. Right now they're on a memorization scripture, and that's Psalms 23. And the four-year-old, she's doing really good. And our almost three-year-old, he's doing really good in it too. So it's a blessing because what we have future disciples. So I'm going to get started. And I'll go, there's two words that I'm going to be covering tonight, because there's so many other words that we could use in character building. But these two words, I think, are primary, and that's confidence and honesty. And in this scripture that Sister Deborah had mentioned tonight, this scripture tells us the what, who, when, and why. And that's Proverbs 22:6. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. More of they is why we need to train. This is all the more reason why we need to teach them and train them, because the word is true. It's not, and it is necessary. It says train up a child, so this is when we should start doing it. Even from the cradle, we should start training them up. And I'm not saying teaching them the word. You can read the word to them. You can read Bible stories to them. But it's going to be more about building their confidence, their environment, keeping it positive according to the word, until their minds start to develop where things can stick. And it starts real, real early, you know, when they start getting the understanding. Some of them at one, because they can understand simple commands, yes and no. Don't do that, hot and cold. They can understand when they begin to do things wrong, because sin, let me tell you, as sweet as these little kids are, they're sinners. They have no confidence in anything. They don't even have confidence in their parents until we start providing that security. You know, we feed them every day. We pick them up. We change them when they're wet. That's when they start to develop confidence that you're going to be there to pick them up and hold them and love them. That's when they start to building up confidence in us. So we have a great responsibility. But remember, we're dealing with little bitty sinners and little baby bodies. You know, when children throw tantrums, that's not cute. That's sin. The word tells us, if in John 1:10, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is not in the little kids. It's not in the little kids. But they do have a hope based on Romans 5:8. It says, for God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And ultimately, that's what we want them to get to. We want to get our children, groom them till we lead them to Christ. But we're grooming them by actions, by confidence. And we know that they have that sin nature. When they scream and cry and all that to get what they want. And they'll tell little bitty lies. They'll be coming up with some slick stuff. They'll go to one parent and ask for something. Mommy, I want this. My little four-year-old, she'll tell me stuff that she wants to eat, knowing well, good and well, her mother didn't say that. She really knows the difference. She's gluten-free. She can't eat dairy products. She's not to drink coffee, tea, or stuff like that. And then she tell me, she called me Sugar Mama. Sugar Mama, I want some tea and some cookies. I'm like, oh, no, You're not getting to, I mean, she said it so smooth, y'all. She said it so smooth that I was almost, you know, inclined to give it to him. Like, whoa, wait a minute. You don't drink tea. So, and it may sound cute that she said it, but she was being, she was not being honest with me. And in Psalms 51:5 it says, behold, I brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Since we were conceived, sin within us. But here is the benefit and the importance of training future disciples. It says, for the wages of sin is death. We don't want our children to be lost eternally because there is a remedy. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this is the importance of training them from the beginning. From when you bring them home from that hospital, start training them. In the womb, mothers, I did it. I read to them and sang to the baby before I laid eyes on them. So we need to begin when they're children because it's hard to bend the tree when it's gotten, you know, a little bit stiffer branches. When they're supple and pliable, that's when they can absorb those good training and teachings we have given them based on the word. So therefore, we've got to be obedient to the word as well. And going back to that word confidence that I wanted to go over with you, God wants us to have confidence in life. He wants us to be assured in our purpose in life. He wants us to be confident in who he has created us to be. Now, he doesn't want us to be arrogant or prideful, but he does want us to be assured in the knowledge of who we are in him. And as parents, that's what we've got to get over and teach our children about being confident, being our self-worth should be seen through the eyes of God because he's our creator. So when you need to boost the self-confidence, is no place to turn other than the Bible. And the scripture is filled with truths and promises for us as we rear our children and our grandchildren. And even if, as parents, you know, some of our adult children have come back to us for advice, you know, for decision-making things that they don't understand in life. And we have to, you know, we have to trust the word. We have to give them the word in order, because I don't have any answers outside of the word that's going to make any sense to their lives and really is going to help them to continue to grow into the mature disciples that they need to be. And another thing about confidence, children need to be confident in Jesus and confident in the love of God. And as a parent, you had a responsibility to show that love of God and who Jesus is. That makes them feel secure when they know that they're loved by the parents, by the grandparents. They can feel strong as individuals when we send them out to the preschools, to the nurseries, to big school, and even, you know, when they don't feel like they're good enough or they're strong enough, they remember who we tell them they are. But we can only share and tell them who they are based on the word, because we didn't create them. God is their creator. So we tell them who God says they are. So we want to establish their self-worth and the child's identity. As I stated, it should start early from infanthood all the way and continued out through when they leave your household. So Hebrews 10:35-36 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And that confidence is in him. It's in God. It's trusting his finished works and what he's done for us, and that when he created us, he created us to be good. And in 36 Hebrews 10:36, it says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So confidence isn't just feeling good about yourself. It's more than just feeling about how you look, what you wear, but it's what's on the inside of you. You're confident in your creator, who created you, what he's made. I'm not going to feel less than because of this 5 millimeters of skin that I'm in. I'm more than the skin that I'm in. It's more to me than this exterior. I am a living being who has a soul, and my spirit man was quickened and born again, so I live eternally. So it's more to me than just what meets the eye, and that's what our children have to know, and it'll carry over into the success of their schools, their classrooms, and even in their workplace. Because what God says about confidence, and we can teach our children this when we're talking to our little children, when he made you, he saw that what he made, and he beheld it, and he said it was very good. So we tell our little grandchildren, you're brave, you're beautiful, you're intelligent, you're good because God made you. And that's what builds them up to go out, and we can be confident that they're going to believe us, because you know I already taught we have the authority over them. When we're teaching them this way, when we go out, we can trust the word. We can trust that they're going to make decisions, the correct decisions in their lives. And also in Psalms 39:13-14, it says, for you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. When your kids hear words like that coming out of your mouth in regard to who they are and even why they're here, why they exist in this world, they can go out, you know, with their head high. They don't have to look down and be worried and afraid or that they're going to look out of place, that they don't have the proper clothes to wear, they don't have the right haircuts, they don't have the right shoes. Those kind of things won't matter to them even when you teach them while they're young. And believe it or not, even as young children, what they wear to school, people pick on them. Other kids pick on them if they have better shoes, if they have the designer shoes, the latest sneakers, the little bitty pocketbooks, the right book bag. Those kind of things and those kind of words, when they talk about their, I don't know, their little Tom sneakers or whatever they may call them, you know, off-brand sneakers, whatever they call them, if they're not in style, they talk about them. But what we want to do is reinforce their uniqueness based on the word of God and reiterate God is their creator as they are young disciples in the making. Now, we can't beat them over the head. We don't want to lead them to salvation right away because it takes time. They're watching you. You're training them up. And when they come to that understanding, you'll be able to share the gospel with them straight from the Bible. And a big part of building and maintaining that confidence, again, is learning how to bounce back. You yourself had to learn how to bounce back when adult people talked about you, lied on you, or you weren't wearing and driving a car or living in a house that they thought you should be living in. When we have confidence, when we have those uncomfortable experiences like rejection or failure or embarrassment, we don't have to go away sad about it. We can go away confident in the fact that it's not about what I wear, drive, or where I live, but it's what's on the inside of me. And when your children feel that same confidence that you have, you project it on them because you're making them feel secure at home by loving them and teaching them, and your words and your behavior is an example. They are more likely to trust you. they're more likely to have academic and personal success. And as they mature and develop, they're inclined to act more independently. They can learn to solve problems. They can resist peer pressure. And they can respond directly from those fundamental core values that you have been teaching. And hopefully you're teaching that confidence. And the other word I wanted to cover, teaching about those core values, is honesty. And that's another thing we cannot, we've got to hit that head on, is teaching our children how to be honest and what honesty is. And honesty is a quality of being honest, which means telling the truth, not lying, not cheating. And another synonym for honesty is integrity, being transparent, being able to tell the truth under any circumstances, whether it's going to benefit you or not. And the opposite, the antonym, is dishonesty. That is that is lying and cheating. That is the opposite of what God wants us to be. He wants his disciples. He wants disciples in making, mature disciples. He wants us to be honest. He wants us to have integrity, because that's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Not exactly, it doesn't say honesty exactly, but that's a fruit that you have because he lives on the inside of you. You're going to be honest because you're reading his truth and you want to share his truth, and you can't do that being dishonest. And little children don't have to be taught to lie. I already stated that. They don't have to be taught to lie. It's innate, meaning they were born in it. They were born with the opposite of being honest. They were born to be dishonest. But first, you know, we have to be honest and truthful with our children. And the benefit of being honest and thoughtfully honest is that your child will see you as dependable. They'll see you as a trustworthy source of information, and that you are emotional reliable. You know, I remember when a parent or a grandparent or an uncle or aunt, they told you were going to do something, or told me when they were going to do something, and when they didn't do it, you know, I said, why did they lie to me? They could have just said yes or no. I'm not going to show up, but I'm not going to do that. Why not just be honest about it rather than tell me a falsehood and then break my heart, you know, as a child? And I feel like maybe this is the way I'm supposed to be. But through our conversations that we have with our children about honesty, we can foster their moral reasoning as well as the consideration of other people's feelings and perspectives. So the things that were done to me when people didn't tell me the truth and it hurt my feelings, I want to make sure that I don't do, didn't do my children like that. I want to make sure that I don't do my grandchildren like that, because now I got to start over with that same model that I had for my children, and now it's been enhanced and I've learned better. Now I've got to present a model to them. You know, when I call up little Nora, tell her I'm coming over to her house to see her, I'm going to do a thing, you know, she's really expecting that I told her the truth, that I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Because that little sister, she will hold you accountable, because she's going to ask a question. If I'm late, or when are you coming? You know, and sometimes I've been late, but I still came. But I have to explain myself to little Miss Nora. So being honest can have a positive effect in the life of a child. As I said, it can permeate through their classroom, in sports, on teams when they start, you know, growing older and participating with others. And then it moves on into their workplace, and when they're out of your house making a living for themselves, it is a benefit to being honest. And being honest with your child, there are some benefits and some consequences. you know, with something like stressful news, for example. You know, we hear about, you know, the school shootings and different things like that, and they get the trauma teams in there and the social workers in there to explain these things to children. When things, events like this are happening, now we have to discuss it on their level, but it is best for us to be truthful and allow them to know that things like these will happen in life, and this can model emotional intelligence and empathy as well as coping skills within our children, because they don't need to be torn down just because something negative is happening in this world, or they saw something on the news, a school shooting, somebody stole their phones at school, somebody broke their toys in the preschool. They have to be able to cope in these kind of situations and not fall apart. But I've seen children when parents did not lay a basis, I've especially seen them when they go to college, many of them will break down when they go to college. Whatever little principles they may have had, they throw them out of the window, or they break down. They don't have good study habits. They just get overwhelmed because now life is hitting them. Even though it's in the academic arena, you have a lot of people from all over, different countries, different cities, who they have a chance to speak into your children's lives. Now, with all these people, the professors, their friends from all over speaking into their lives, it could be very confusing if they have not already been established in confidence and honesty to help build their character. So we want to be honest in the scriptures, and we do not want anybody to be able to discredit us as parents, and to discredit us as little children, because it's our parents' responsibility to teach us how to be honest. And in 2 Corinthians 8:21, it says, "For we have regard for what is honorable above suspicion, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." We don't want to present our Lord is anything less than honest. If you don't believe your parents and your fathers, how do you think our children are going to believe God? Because we were given that authority over them in the earth realm, and he's over us. So let's not present our father in the wrong way. And also, when it comes to lying in Colossians 3:9-10, say, "Do not lie to one another. But you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices and have put on a new spiritual self who is being continually renewed in true knowledge in the image of him who created the new self." So there's so many other scriptures pertaining to confidence and being honest as being character builders. And when we start to teach those things, then we can begin to teach the scripture I'm talking about. We can begin to teach them John 3:16. We can, as they grow in disciples and start to mature, then we can teach them their responsibility as a disciple according to Matthew 28:19-20. So let everything that we do as parents, as grandparents, remember, our children are watching us. So the confidence that we want to have, we want them to have even more based on the word. We want them to be honest with us. When we, you know, asking our children whether or not they did wrong or did they do this or that, we want them to tell us the truth, but we want them to be able to tell us the truth without fear of punishment. Sometimes they're just afraid of us. We don't want our kids to be afraid of us, because if they're afraid of you, then they won't be honest with you. So we must teach respect. That was another one of the words. So when they begin to respect us, they'll be more open with us. They'll be confident that we're going to tell them the right things. Yes, we will reprimand. They may get phones taken, maybe grounded, no allowances or whatever you do, but they should not be afraid to come to you, because as we teach the confidence and be honest, then we are fostering a safe environment for them to come to us and for us to continue to train them up in the way they should go. And they'll learn this is the same God that mom and daddy loves, and he loves them. Well, he loved me too. And it's something that I want because I see how successful they are in life. Not in successful with the things, but they're successful in their love and their kindness and their outpouring to other people and how we're making them feel. So children are important, and we are building their character, whether it's positive or negative. But let's be aware of the way that we're leading them, according to the word, is based on the scriptures. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. So now you're going to have the prayer for our children, Sister Pat and Pastor Regina Kuyper will pray for our children.
Hey, and before we do that, brother, did anyone have any questions or takeaways that might help me, because I'm still a young grandparent. I'm still trying to do this thing over even better than the first time. help us out.
Well,
I know y'all have experiences too in the word and with rearing children. What's your takeaway?
Looks like you're on the right track. I raised my children in the way that they should go, and you know, and so they would not depart from it. And they didn't like the way they were raised. But now they have children, my grandchildren, and they got them marching around like little soldiers. So they're doing the right things. I am so proud of them. I don't think I have one grandchild that acts ugly. And I don't think I have one grandchild that is not a scholar. All of them are scholars. So they've been raised right. And they're all in the church. So what you said tonight was good. It was good. That's what we ought to do. And I'm sure the rest of us have some grandchildren. And some of us may have great grandchildren. I don't know. But anyway, we welcome your comments.
Yeah, and we are striving to do just that, trust the word, because the word says, when he's old, he will not depart. And I raised a nephew, and he got out of line for a while. He went to prison for a long time. But when he got out, he remembered his uncle and his auntie, and he said that's a place he does not want to go back to. And, you know, I could see mm-hmm. his heart when he came to his uncle's 70th birthday. You know, he just poured out his heart, but we meant to him. And I think, you know, sometimes even when our kids go wayward, I just believe they're going to come back around if they got the word of God in them, if they have the love of the grandparents or parents in them, that they're going to come back around. And I have mine. They'll tell me, I didn't like, you know, I was telling us, I didn't like this about how you did that, mama or daddy, how you made us do that. And then they'll put that but there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. but I like what y'all did, and we want y'all to help us do the same thing. I said, okay, all right then. So, I think that was a report card from our kids. In some sense, when they said, okay, we want you to help us with ours. So I'm like, okay, I did something right. So let me go back and check the word here and make sure it's based on what he said, not what I said. Any more comments right. before we get to the prayers? I want to hear some others. As I said, I'm not the expert, y'all. I'm not the expert. God is the expert. His word is the expert.
I would like to ask the question if it, in order.
Yes, ma'am.
No problem.
Proverbs 22:6. My question is this scripture principle? Is it promise or is it principle?
You know what? I think it could be two, but I certainly know that it is a promise. I knew this before I even understood principles and promises, because he said, you train them up in the way they should go, train them up in the word, bend them more towards their gifting, their slant. It said, mm-hmm. when he is old, he will not depart. That's a promise. That's a promise to me. Now, if somebody else got any other insight on that, please let me know. But I feel like it's certainly a promise, because I'm raising them up in the principles. I heard somebody say something. Go ahead. Help me and the apostle out. Help me out.
I've got a comment, and I'm asking because I believe in raising. I believe in doing what this word say. I raised mine that way, and I thank God for, you know, my children, the lives that they are living now. But my issue with this being a promise or is that the person that wrote this scripture is saying different. And I know of many people that raise their children from babies in the church, raised them a godly life. They went out and they chose the wrong crowd. And some of them never came back. They lost their lives out there. So that's my concern. Even Solomon that wrote this, the wisest man that ever lived, he left us this knowledge, but he himself strayed, you know, in the end.
Correct. And I hear you, sister. I totally hear you. And we know that happens. But look, also this too, God gives every individual. And you notice what I was saying. We start them out when they're infants, when they're, you know, coming out that womb, start teaching them the word. And I had this particular issue come up with another friend who was a pastor's wife. And you know, she will you please put your phones on mute? We're hearing some other talking. I wanted to answer what the apostle was saying.
Let's mute, please. Let's mute.
If you look forward.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So, Apostle, I've seen the same thing, but she fought me on this particular scripture when I was standing on this word when I started having babies. I said, I'm going to stand on this word right here. I mean, she had a baby too. Her kid was still young too, and she was in the church just like me. And I believe, you know, she was a woman of God, but she fought me on it. She said, you know, what if they don't? I said, well, you know what? I can't say what if, but what I have to do as a parent, I have to do my due diligence, do my duty according to the word, and believe by faith what he promised will be manifested. Now, for me, you know, I still, even when I start sharing, when they got old enough to be able to read, sister, and I started reading the scriptures to them about salvation. But what I did, I put that disclaimer out there. I said, now this is going to be a decision that you must make. You're going to have to tell mommy or daddy when you're ready. And I said, when you get ready, I will go up there with you. You know, when you get ready to be baptized and you want to join up with the church at that time. That's what I was telling them. But I didn't badger them about it. Each one of them made separate decisions. And when they made that decision, you know, I checked them, made sure that's, you know, their confession, what they believe. I showed them in the word because they could read at that time. And when each one of them did, when the first one did, I said, hey, now we got to help your sister. You know, you got to live this life. You got to be telling them about God too. So you got to help mom and daddy. So when each one of them got saved, I didn't know what day or what time or anything, but they did. Now, did they do some stuff when they went off to college and even in high school? Yes, they did. They did. And we had to correct them, reprimand them, take keys, take calls, didn't buy clothes, didn't pay for phones or whatever. But they got back on the right track. When they went out to college, I said, hey, you got to find your church home. You're in college. You can't just lay up in the dorm, lay up in your apartment. You got to find somewhere to go. And each one of them did. They started going to their own churches. But I believed in his promise, and it worked. But as they matured, they still have a free will. Now, you didn't relinquish your duty as a parent. You still train them up. But they got to make that decision for themselves. They got to make that decision for themselves, and they're responsible for it. But wouldn't you rather have them armed with the gospel and ready to make the right decision than to not have it and continue to, you know, live in sin as a sinner?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am, for real. And
amen.
I did that.
Amen.
I did that, and I do thank God that my adult children, you know, they are doing well. I'm saying principle. We must, as children of God, we must do the word, not hear it on it, but we must do it.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing
mm-hmm.
the word, you're training your children up in the way they should go. And we do know also the first thing we should give them is the godly principles.
Amen.
I also believe that training the child up in the way it should go is every child does not have the same capacity for learning or for retaining or for grasping. And so
right.
when we give them the word, I believe we also, if we see that child loving to nurture and loving to care for things and concerned about other people, and, you know, we can see the direction that they're headed. My granddaughter is just finished her third year of medical school. From a little girl, she loved animals. She wanted to help. She loved people. She always wanted to help in that area of that said to me, doctor, nurse, that somebody that would provide for others. And so
mm-hmm.
you train them in that way also, along with giving them the godly principles. So it's a twofold thing right there. But I do believe that there are hundreds of people that are doing well in life using this principle. The parents didn't necessarily claim to be Christians, but
mm-hmm.
they used this principle, and they trained them where they saw those children had desires and what they wanted to gravitate to. They taught them that way using this
Amen.
Principle. Not even using the godly thing or stuffing the word in them or make sure that they do that. There are people that don't claim to be Christians, and they have, some of them didn't even attend church, but they use this principle to train them. I was listening to Deacon Connor. He said, you know, for the godly, he had the godly side, and he had, you know, trained the children in the natural way. And even he can talk about the grandchildren have a good life. There are people that don't go to church. There are people that they are good, moral, clean people, but they don't claim to be Christians. And they raise their children up to be moral and to love, do unto others. They use principles, godly principles,
yes.
and they work. So I'm saying, is this a principle that works? Not ungodly, but maybe a sinner. There are people that believe that there is a God, but they don't necessarily gravitate to saying they are Christian, but they use godly principles, and they work for people. This principle has worked for people that, you know, don't say they don't believe in God. So,
and I give you another
principle. Is this a promise? Is it a promise?
I give it to you two ways. I'm in agreement with what you're saying, and the reason I say that, principles work, okay? And many principles mm-hmm. were captured from the Word of God. Principles work. Another principle, for instance, there are people who are generous. And they keep getting uh-huh. money, coming back to them all the time because they're very generous. Being a generous person, you know, it said give and it shall be given unto you. Generous people, mm-hmm. money, things come back to them, and some of them don't love the Lord, okay? And just like you were saying, training the children in the slant they should go. If my daughter, she was more slanted towards mathematics and sciences, and she always wanted to know why this worked this way or that way. And so I began to push her towards the mathematics and the science side because that's what she loves. She's a doctor today because of that. But she's a Christian today because of that as well. So it can work in the natural, and it can work because principles work. And just like you were saying, we have different methods. I have three children who look alike. They could go halfway around the world and somebody see them. If they know one of us, they say they'll put them with me and Charles. They look that much alike. But they were not alike as they were growing up. They had very different needs. They had different gifts, different talents. I had one child who was very artsy. She, as far as the word goes, she grasped it very easily, a lot more than the other children. She walks in the prophetic, as a matter of fact. That's a gifting that I saw, too. It was confirmed by others, too. And she was easy to deal with when I was teaching her the word. But then my oldest daughter, the one that's a doctor, she was very scientific. She always wanted to know why he said this and that. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm not good. I can't answer all that for you. You know, you just got to believe. But she was very analytical in her approach to the word. And my son was totally different from the word. So I had to push them towards their different slants, what they were more geared towards. And they were they're totally different people when it comes to the natural. But they're all the same in the spirit. I thank God for that. So I believe it's true. It's a principle and a promise. But I also know that principles can work for people who are non-believers. Now, no matter how good and moral you may be, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and acknowledge him as Lord, you can do good all you want to, give all the money, make all the sacrifices you want to, but you will not be seeing him in the end.
That is a promise that is definitely true. I'm going to say this and I'm going to be done because I just,
yes, ma'am.
I just, you know, had that in me. I'm going to say this about what would you tell people that have basically, we don't know what goes on in the next home, but people that you have some idea that they're godly and they try to do the word as well as hear it, and theirs don't turn out like yours. They've done everything they know, understood to know from the word, but theirs doesn't turn out like yours. Do you tell them that was a principle or a promise?
Well, it
and
still
I'm,
is
I relinquish.
The word. Yeah, thank you, because that's real. And that's something that I think on the 5th that we'll be discussing as well, based on what Sister Deborah said, we're going to be discussing that because a lot of people turn away from God because and they turn away from God for that reason that you've explained. And it's something, first of all, I feel like you really need a relationship when they're coming to you like that. You need to have a relationship with them. But also, sometimes things don't turn out for the believers like we think they should.
But
you know, sometimes
he promised it, though.
He promised it, ma'am, but I can't, we don't know the heart and the motives behind what all people do. And we, you know, and there's still some things that we can't comprehend why God answered them in a certain way or why their kids didn't turn out or why they didn't have any success. But I think for the mature believer, just because things didn't turn out for us the way we thought they should have, because in the Word of God it says that we should give thanks in all situations and pray without ceasing, rejoice always. So if bad stuff happened to me, happened to one of my kids, Lord, why did my kid die of cancer? And And then I was praying Isaiah 55 over them. I was praying that by your stripes that they would be healed. Why weren't they healed? If that's a principle, if that's a promise, why weren't they healed? Well, sometimes things are done for the glory of God later in life that we may learn years down the road, but we just can't understand them at that time because we love that kid so much. So some of those prayers and those things that they're doing, they don't turn out the way they want. Some things are to glorify God. Now, if you didn't and you needed to have glorified God, just as he says, be thankful in all situations. So if maybe my response, you know, maybe that thing happened to you so you can turn around and help another person in the same situation. But if you're going to grumble about it and be ticked off with God that he didn't answer your prayer the way you thought he should have, then it just shows a lack of maturity. They still have not grown in the word. And that's something I think that they'll have to grow into. And I'm still researching my scriptures on that, Apostle, because a lot of people are grappling with that. They think this walk, this natural life is going to be rosy, and we're not going to have to go through anything. But it said it's not if we're going to go, it's just when. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have things just like the world because we still exist in this natural environment. And until he returns, we're not going to see that perfection here on earth. But we've got to be able to walk in those principles. And I know maybe I still haven't answered, but as I said, I think the study on the August 5th, we'll be covering some of those things, and I will be utilizing the word to approach it. And hopefully that will help some people who have that that outlook on the word, that they're just believing God. And I think that's kind of still immature. They're just not where they should be. They're thinking everything is going to go right. Everything hasn't gone right in my life. Didn't go right with my children. But we had to work through it together. Now, they came out on the other side of it, and I'm not going to share all of those private things. But, man, we've had some hardships and some things that we didn't think we should have encountered as believers when we were trusting his word. But we did. But we got through it. We got through it based on his word, and we believe what he said. And what's the scripture? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. You know, losing three children, I didn't think that was good when all my other friends were having babies and I'm holding dead babies. But later on in life, I realized I was nowhere fit to be a mother. But I had to minister to other young ladies who were, you know, going through the same situation. So I feel like God got the glory out of it. And certainly when he blessed us with children, I said, Lord, I'm going to make sure that I train them up in the way they should go because these are gifts to me. And I tell you, I love them children. I loved on them, train them. I didn't count on anybody to babysit for them. You know, we didn't say, oh, we're young, we want to do this and do that. Nope. If our children can't go, we can't go. So I know that I trust God in the word. I trust him, period, even when I don't know things in the word. I trust what his word says until I find out. I just seek him on it and you know, find those principles and his promises, and I trust in that. I'm unwavering in that. But I wasn't always to that point, like some of these people may not be yet. We pray that they'll get there, though. I know I went all around about on that one. That's where I am on that one.
Amen. I'm in for discussion.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Everett. I hear you.
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor Kuiper. I can come after you.
Well, I have a few thoughts that came to mind as I was listening. When I walked the night started, I was at a football practice with the grandkids, and so I tried to let them listen to a little bit of this as I was riding with them, taking them home.
got them home so I can kind of hear and focus a little bit better. But the words that kind of came to my mind, one word came to my mind was sovereignty. God's sovereignty over everything. So we have a scripture that has principle and a promise. In his sovereignty, he knows that some things are going to happen. And two other words that came to mind was fate and destiny. So we should never forsake the principle. We should never forsake applying the principles that God has given us in his word to our lives. And if an unbeliever applies that principle and it works for them, then it's because God has said it to be so. I also believe that fate and destiny is hard for us sometimes, because we do sometimes use them interchangeably. But yet there's some differences there. Fate is something that we have a lack of control over. It becomes inevitable. And when we use destiny, we tend to talk about a sense of purpose. When we look at the proverb that we're talking about, we hear purpose. We hear a promise, but we hear some purpose in that. So we raise them up in the way they should go, the bent, the slant, the word of God, to know the God, since it was written by an Israelite, to know their God. And so by doing that, they shape the destiny of their child. Sometimes fate happens. So how do we explain Gaza, Ukraine?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have things that we cannot explain in our finite understanding of God's sovereignty over everything, his supreme power over everything. So we grapple to try to explain those things, but what we know we're supposed to do is apply the principles for our lives. God has given us his word, his laws, that we are to apply them to our lives, realizing that sometimes there's a fate that occurs that nobody can control. And we don't know why, because you can't tell me that innocent people aren't dying every day. When we say innocent, we're talking about innocent the way we define innocent. Sister Story, you said that we were born into sin, and sin that my mother conceived me. So everybody's a sinner. And so if I bring attention to our teaching in Romans, then we see three different types of people that Paul was addressing. We talked about this. Reiterate that, those that are lawless, those that were morally self-righteous, or self-righteous moralists, and those who knew the law, who had the law, who were Jews that felt that they were, you know, okay because of the law, that they were saved because of the law. But we realize that we're all sinners, and there's something that we're missing in our lives. And so whether that seems like somebody else is prospering and I'm not, does not mean that I nullify the way I relate to God in my life. And so that becomes my journey, my walk, my destiny, and hopefully not facing the fate that would destroy me. So I don't know if we can get to a conclusion on that in every aspect, because when you're trying to explain that to somebody, there's some things that people will not understand. Some things we don't understand. Some things we still are understanding as we walk through life now. And some things are spiritually discerned. And so somebody we believe is not a born of God, the Holy Spirit, that some things of God they're not going to understand. And here again, we're still trying to mature in the faith. And so we have an ever-increasing faith that we walk through. We go from glory to glory. We get understanding, mm-hmm. revelation. And we begin to look back and say, wow, look where God has brought me from. You know, we hear people say that. And so they made it that far in the journey, but some people didn't make it that far. So I guess that when I hear that, I hear the struggle of the conversation, and I don't think I'm offering anything. I hope I'm not throwing more fuel on it. But just to understand that at some point, I don't know if people are going to understand that, the loss of a child. I know a faithful Christian woman and husband, and their child got killed in a car accident. I saw it shake their face. The child was 16 years of age, and she was a good child. She was there at church. She was learning. She you know, it was one of those tragedies when you have the funeral, everybody comes out to support the family. Everybody's there from the school, high school that she went to, everybody. And we can't explain that, but I saw that mother struggle with that loss to the point that she couldn't get rid of things that were in the room. That room stayed the same for a long period of time after that death. It was a struggle for her because I got to talk to her personally about it because I knew her well enough that she shared some things. So we don't know what could come along to try to shake our faith and our belief. And I'm thankful to say to you all that she held on to her faith, but she struggled with what happened with her child. Sometimes people can be in there to the point that they struggle that they neglect the other child or children that they have because they are focused on the loss of that child. So I don't know, because I could talk about me as a child. I could talk about my children, my grandchildren. And like you say, we all have challenges, but we all should keep hope alive. That's been our word from the weekend, hope. So we have the blessed hope that if we apply the principle, that God will be true to his promise. And what do we do when the promise doesn't turn out the way we think it should be? I'm not sure if Peter, Paul, John, or any of those first disciples of Jesus totally understood that the future was going to be that of torture, that it was going to be that of persecution. What was the promise to them? What promise did they have? Huh? What promise were they living by? What principles were they applying to their lives? They were crucified, thawed and under, tortured.
They were told that they were.
Oh, so was that a promise? Or was that a principle? Okay, so so what's good for them? What would our expectation be? What's the promise to us? What has God promised us as far as future? But whatever we do, and I hear you, Apostle, this is a difficult topic because we're struggling between faith, destiny, promise, and principle, and the things that we are trying to understand. We know when we get to a certain point, we can look back and we say, look what God has done. Look what the Lord has done. There's some people that may not be able to give the same testimony the same way, but yet the Lord still is working in the earth. He's working in the earth. And I'm gonna kind of stop there. I'm just trying to throw that out there because it is a difficult, and I don't purport to have the answers to that in its entirety. But if I walk by faith, not by sight, then I can't judge the Christian walk or my faith by everything I see and everything that happens, whether it be good or bad. We say all things working together for good. But I also want to say to Sister Stir, I just want to say to you, Sister, I got to say this and I'll stop you. You talk about qualifications and different things that you started. But you know what I heard when you began to speak? I heard your qualifications. I don't know what qualification you were thinking that you had or didn't, but when you talked, I heard qualification. I heard the things that I need to know that you qualify, and I can receive what you're saying. You have proven, it's been proven and tested in your life. And so for that, there's something. And I heard that in the apostle's life, and she shared about her child, her children. It's been proven and tested in your life. When you run into somebody else, apostle, I don't know the answer to that. There's somebody that you just can't explain it to. When Job's friends came to him, we happen to know the story, so we can read the story.
Mm-hmm.
But when his friends came and sat with him, they didn't know what to say. I learned something from them. Sometimes I don't say nothing for a while. I ain't got nothing to say. I'm not trying to explain this. I don't know. But maybe God will share something that I can at least give to that person. But we're going to question a lot of things. I mean, his friends question him. Surely, Job, you've done something wrong to deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I apologize for the cutting on that, but I heard the word sovereignty. I heard the word faith. These are things that just came to my mind as sharing with y'all. destiny. Because I see people, some people go to church and they talk this thing about their destiny. But then if a hurricane, a tornado come, was that part of destiny or was that just their fate? So I don't know. I'll leave it there. And Brother Everett, I hope I didn't cut too much into what you were going to say there. I apologize if I did. But this was in my spirit today, and I don't know if I can explain that. But the words that we have in the whatever those principles are and promises, I want to hold to them as much as God would give me the strength to hold to them. I want to raise those kids up, you know. Sometimes I had to wait. I'm waiting a long time for that promise to come true, that they would not depart from it. But I could hear it. I mean, I see the total turn yet, but I could hear it. So I got hope. And that hope makes me not ashamed.
Because
the love of God is shared abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I know who I am in God. So when I live today, I don't know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow, but I live for Him today.
Oh.
And anybody who doesn't believe, I can't. I got a brother that changed to the Nation of Islam. I think he wasn't going to pronounce it because he didn't know I was going to need to be 93 years old. 92, and she turned 90. So I guess he couldn't hold it long enough. He had to bring it out. I got another child that turned to Islam. Most of the excuses I get in that situation is that they look at the lives of Christians. They say they're not real.
No.
So we have to just live this life. You know, I'm just saying, I'm just going to try to live it. So I'm trying to have hope. Keep hope alive. I'm going to give Jesse some credit tonight and give him credit this weekend. Keep hope alive. The faith that we have. And Pastor, I know you have some wisdom there because you talk to a lot of people in those situations. I know. And probably more than most of us on this line. I don't know, sister, but I pray. I only can pray for people. I don't know because I can't explain everything that's happening in my world.
But you know,
can
Mother,
I just
thank
inject
you. This right quick? I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say unto me, let us
Amen.
All just continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And he wanted me to reiterate this scripture out of Hebrews 10:35-36. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And I thank the Lord that Jesus Himself, he certainly did not want to take on sin, but He even prayed, you know, let that bitter cup pass. But He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's the confidence that I have in the Word of God, is that His will be done. Whatever gets Him to glory, whether it's to cause me anything detrimental, then so be it. If it's going to glorify Him and it's according to His will, so be it. Because I feel like He will lead me through it, and if it causes my death, I still win because I'm going to be with Him. So this is the confidence that I have, that He said everything He did, everything He made, He said it was very good. That's what I accept, and that's what I stand on, and I'm standing on His word. And I pray that each and every one of you, you know, when we encounter these difficult questions, and I appreciate the brother for that clarity, some things we're not going to be able to explain because some people want to hear, they want to hear what makes them feel good rather than the truth. I've accepted another thing about my salvation is that the only way I'm getting out of this world is this physical body going to have to be laid down. I'm going to expire. My children are going to expire. I have another view of death with my family and with everybody else's because we're going to expire, whether it's as a newborn baby or as even as an older person. We've got to come to that reality, is that we're
all going to leave this world, but in coming to that reality, we have got to stay on the mandate of Matthew 28:19-20. That's what we got to stay on, staying in his will, abiding in his word. We got to stay on that mandate because we don't want them to leave here without hearing the word of God.
Amen.
If we can, if we can show up those people whose faith is wavering, then, hey, we need to do that. We need to do that because that's our duty. And if we're encountering those kind of people, we need to encourage them because we never know. Holy Spirit may, that one thing he may say through you is going to help them. And they may not understand it all right now, but it'll encourage them. It'll build them up so they won't turn away. Because you know what the Lord says about that? A man who turns, you know, who puts his hand to the plow and turns back, he's not fit for the kingdom. It's going to be some troubles. It's going to be some hardships. But we can endure it all because we're in Jesus Christ. If we only allow him to take all these burdens and these traumas, these heartaches and pains from us, we just give it over to him. He said it's easy. His burdens are light. Take that yoke upon him. Let him lead us, Holy Spirit. And I just thank you for the clarity. I thank everybody for the input and the privilege. I ain't going to talk no more. Brother, we can have that prayer now.
Amen.
I love it.
Amen.
I was so happy to meet everybody too. Y'all to see some faces when I came down. I appreciate that time together. It was a wonderful experience being with the saints from from the different fellowships, seeing the other people that co-labor for Christ. It was such a privilege to meet all of you. I'm looking forward again to when I can come down at Amazing and work with you all side by side in the gospel. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It was wonderful seeing you too. Good teaching. Good teaching.
I think we had a comment from Brother Everett.
Brother Everett?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Awesome job, awesome dialogue. One thing I want to point out to all of us, most of us on this line, I believe, came up in a different era. What I mean by that, our family structures were different. In today's society, the family structure is changing. What I mean by that, in Brother Carter's generation, you had grandmama, big mama. You had three, sometimes four, sometimes five families lived in one household.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the village raising the children.
Mm-hmm.
Grandmama could spank the neighbor's child and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You could put a child in line and it wasn't going to be any consequences. But we are now looking at a generation, probably the last past two or three generations, where they're being raised by single parents. And in some of those cases, during the generation that Brother Carter came in, there were some single parents. But in today's society, you see more mm-hmm. single-parent households now. And mothers, or whether it may be a father, is so busy now that they're trying to make a living financially to support that child, and they really don't have the time to support that child's emotional and psychological well-being. And that's not mm-hmm. to make an excuse, because the Word of God is the Word of God. The Word of God has never changed, but the structure of the family is changing, and it's very challenging. Oh, it's challenging because I have that situation going on with two of my grandchildren, older grandchildren, and my wife is having to raise them now. And I thank God for my daughter, my oldest child. She has twin girls, and when I go to spend the night with them, she has affirmations that are literally on their bathroom mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right.
She has two charts there in their bathroom of chores that they have to do. They will assist her in doing whatever they need to do in the house. And I agree with you, Sister Tori. The children of today, we got to be very careful in how we answer their questions. We have really got to make certain that we think first before we give them an answer, because if that answer does not register with them, oh, it's going to be a follow-up question. Give you a point. My daughter works so well with them. They're so concerned about the family structure, which I'm so grateful that she instills in them. And if someone dies, they'll ask why. We were in Walmart a couple of weeks ago. I have one that loves to give to the poor. She'll walk up to her, and I have to tell her, hey, baby, hold on. And my daughter has to explain to them that sometimes people just go through bad situations. And when you say it that way, they still don't understand. So she has to put it into a way to break it down, and you have to take the time out. See, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. We don't want to take the time out. We want to give them a pass-by answer. And they're still confused. That's what's wrong with a lot of our children today. We don't take the time to sit down and explain things clearly or listen to them. We need to listen to them attentively before we answer, because the day of just giving them an answer and running, that's not going to work with this generation, because the danger of that is this. They have technology at their hand, can give them an answer just like that. And we all know that, and we've seen in the last 2 or 3 weeks how the computers have just shut down major corporations. We have to make certain that we are spending that quality, that's the key, quality time with our children.
Yeah.
Taking the time out to listen to them. Find out what happened in school today. Just don't pick them up and then take them to McDonald's or Chick-fil-A and then go on about your business. Take the
All
time
right.
and say, sweetheart, how was your day today? What happened today? Okay, pay attention to your children or your grandchildren. Because if you have a close relationship to your children or grandchildren, you will know unequivocally what's going on in their mind. Their mood swing is different. I have one of the twins. Both of them wants to know everything, but one is going to drill you, and I think she's going to be an attorney, because she's going to ask this question. Then if you get that right, then she's going to go, well, why is this, Papa? And then, you know, you have to sit there and think. And then once you explain it to them, they have it. So the key word is spending quality time with our children and listening to them. And then we got to ask God how we are to answer to this. And if you don't know the answer, baby, right now, Papa going to have to think about that thing, because I'm really, I don't want to give you the wrong answer. And I've had to say that, because I didn't want to cross a line that perhaps my daughter and my son-in-law haven't covered yet. You know, I don't, and I try to be very careful with that. There are certain things that come up that I must be respectful of, because I don't want to give them the wrong answer, and then my daughter hadn't discussed that with them. And you're right, sister. Our children and our grandchildren, they're smart now. And if they don't get the answer out of you, they're going to probably go to your husband. We got to make certain that we are paying attention to our children now. And that's what we have failed in the last 3 or 4 generations, because we have allowed the cell phones. We have allowed these video games. We have allowed social media to raise our children just to get them out of our face. I didn't do that because my mother told me when I was coming up, and Brother Claire, I know my mother real well. My mother wouldn't go out. Yep. I wouldn't buy no designer jeans for you, boy. I had to pay my mama $350 for the first car she could have gave it to me. It was a lot of things. I didn't like my mama, but I understood, because had she given me everything, I would have been in a terrible fix. Now, I'm not a perfect person, but I sure enough would have been messed up. And if it had been for my father, I sure enough would have been messed up. But my mother said no to a lot of things that I did not understand, but now I do, because when you give children everything and they don't earn anything or they don't understand their hard times, because I didn't realize it until I got older. I thought really I had it made until I got older and started having children. And I realized the sacrifices that my my mother made. I now understand the sacrifices that my grandmother made. I remember when I went off to college, down at Georgia College, my grandmother had a handkerchief, and she had money tied up so in a handkerchief. I thought it was just coins, but when that grandmama mine unraveled that handkerchief, oh, she had some paper dollars in there too now. Oh, she wouldn't, all she right. was by chance. But I looked at that, and I remember watching my grandmother out her bedroom window, how she ironed the white people's clothes. She even ironed the white people's sheets, and she folded them neatly. She had integrity about herself. She had pride about herself. She taught me to be prideful. She taught me how to be neat. She showed me. She took the time out. She spent quality time with me. My daddy spent quality time with me, showing me things. My uncles took quality time and showed me things. My mama spent a lot of quality time with, and I've always tried to do that with my children. Now, was I perfect? No, I wasn't perfect, but I always have been in their life. They always knew that I loved them. They always knew that they could depend on me. They always knew that I was going to tell them the truth. As hard as it may have been, I had to. Now, that was a rough passage in my life where I did allow emotion sometimes to get in the way, but I had to go back and apologize. And that's what it's all about. If you can go back to somebody and say, hey, baby, I was wrong. Daddy was going through his emotional thing, and I was wrong. Sometimes adults ain't going to get it right, but I just want you to know to please forgive me. And that's what we have to do. We don't do that enough. Our children really think we are God. Our children really think we are Superman and Wonder Woman, and we are not. But we decide to give them quality time, be transparent with them, and ask God to help us when we find ourselves in those situations where we just don't know what to say. Because as my mother always said, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. And lastly, Apostle Esther, I understand you. I feel you. But one thing my mother have always told me, she said, son, people, places, and things you cannot change. You can only change yourself. And I would have to kind of back off changing yourself. Only person that really can change us is the Holy Spirit, God's word.
Amen.
And put us on the right track. So very deep discussion, and I'm really looking forward to another discussion because this was very deep, and we can't cover it all in one night. Thank you so much.
Amen.
And even Holy Spirit is a gentleman. You're going to have to yield to him.
Amen.
Submit yourself. He ain't going to even force you, right? Amen. Love it, love it, love it.
Amen.
Good words.
Amen.
He takes me back to Alphabet City, but I'll save that for another session. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen. Deacon Connor, as we prepare for prayer tonight, I'm going to ask that we take this on as an assignment, and this is the assignment for us on tonight, is for each of us to do a commitment card. It's called a commitment card, and I've kind of started mine. It says, my commitment as a parent, my commitment as a grandparent, my commitment as a person in the life of children. And what will our commitment be? And the first thing that my first commitment is that I will plant the seeds of the word in the life of children. And I'm just going to ask, when we have our next session, it's going to be, again, an open forum, such a great discussion tonight. But we want you to share your commitment card. What will your commitment be to children? What will your commitment be to youngsters and young people? And so when we come back, we'll send that date out, and we'll send this out via text message on our link and post it on our webpage, is that we're going to create a commitment card. And we are going to ask if you would come back and share what your commitment would be in terms of children, in terms of youth, and in terms of young people. And as I said, my first commitment is to plant the seed of the word in their hearts. So just a side of we're getting a head start on it. And that's what I heard tonight as you all were sharing. You all were sharing seeds and seeds to be watered in the life of our children, seeds of the word, seeds of confidence, seeds of self-worth, seeds of us, one, being good role models, being godly role models, modeling honesty, integrity, and also we talked about transparency. Because the best way you can teach a child is not so much sometimes you having them, you standing in front of them, and they look like they're in a classroom setting. But the best way you can teach them is as they watch you live. Do they Amen. See us being honest? Do they Amen. See us honest when we go and they give us extra change at the Walmart and we walk out and call it a blessing? Well, we know that they gave us the wrong change. I myself, the other day, probably about a month or so ago, the lady at the Walmart didn't ring up all of my groceries. And when I got there, when I got outside, I said, wait a minute, this is not right. So I went back on the inside and took it back. And said that I took it to the service counter. And I said, I think that she made a mistake. I said, she didn't do it on purpose. I said, but I need to clear this up because I'm a believer and I wouldn't want nobody to think that I want to take anything. We have to model this. We can talk about it, but are we modeling it? Are our children Amen. See us walk out the word in forgiveness when someone Yes. mistreats us or say ugly things to us or treat us ugly? What do they see? It's the modeling that's going to make the difference. So I, again, thank you for the session, Sister Tony. I did Pastor Reggie in that, yes, you are qualified because you have been through this. Each of us on this line have experienced what it's like and what it takes to be the parent we're called to be, because God is still working on us too. He's still making and molding us, but establishing this whole idea, you all, of self-worth. Our children are prepared to go back into the classroom. Some of them may have started today. We don't want them to go back with their heads hung down and not knowing who they are. We are to be building children up to be born again and carrying out God's mission no matter where they are. But they should not go back feeling defeated, intimidated, bullied, not having a fear and doubt on what they can and cannot do. So we have a responsibility. But I'm asking the Lord to work on me and the Holy Spirit to come forth and give me the holy boldness that's going to be needed this year to help them in school, to help them to know who they are in Christ Jesus and who they can be and who they can become to be. So thank you again for the session as we dealt with principles and promise, as we dealt with fate as well as destiny. But most of all, what are we building in our children? Are we building them in the area of self-worth through God, honesty, modeling, and integrity and self-worth? So, again, just thank you so much for all of the discussion, all of those that are on the line tonight. And Deacon Connor, as we continue to tag team through this, we'll ask Sister Pat and Pastor Kuiper to come tonight to pray for our children. We want to thank all of you who have joined us. We have family there in Alabama that we know that comes on early in the morning, joy in the morning. We want to welcome you tonight. We heard you coming in. Thank you for being here. Thank our family there here in Macon, as well as in Warner Robins, as well as in Atlanta. We want to thank you for being on the line tonight and others as well. So as we prepare to pray for our children tonight, we are going to ask Pastor Reggie and Sister Pat to pray for their minds. We ask them to pray for their eyes and their ears. We ask them to pray for their mouth and their heart, their hands and their legs and their feet. There are associated scriptures that go along with each of this. As we pray for their minds, we pray Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. We pray Proverbs 3, 21. As we pray for their eyes, we pray Romans 16 and 19. As we pray for their ears, we pray James 1 and 19. As we pray for their mouth, we pray Psalms 34 and 13. As we pray for their hearts tonight, we pray Proverbs 15 and 13. As we pray for their hands, we pray Proverbs 10, 4 through 5. As we pray for their legs tonight, we pray Psalm 1 and 1. And yes, as we pray for their feet, we pray Psalm 17 and 5. We ask Sister Pat and Pastor Reggie that you also pray for us as parents, us as grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and those that walk in the life of our children, that we would be the models that we are to be, the models that exemplify Christ-like characteristics, the characteristics that you find in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the characteristics that you find in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, the characteristics that they see in us that we are walking by the word, the characteristics of Psalm chapter 1. And yes, we just thank God again for this night and thank God for you. So Sister Pat, Pastor Reggie, if you would come and pray for our children. Sister Pat and then Pastor Reggie. Amen.
Come stay, everybody. Let us pray. Our Father, our holy and righteous Father, our all in all, we come tonight, Lord God, first is honoring you for who you are, our creator, our maker, our peace, our joy, and most of all, our everything. We come, Lord God, confessing our sin before you, Lord, because we don't want nothing to hinder our prayer tonight. We're praying for a very precious cargo that you have given us as gifts, Lord God, and that is our children. Father, we come thanking you, O God, for the scripture of Proverbs 22:6. It's a promise. It's a principle to give our children the wisdom and the knowledge that they need, oh God, as they go on, grow up in life. Lord, we thank you for Miss Story tonight, her concern about the children. We thank you, oh God, for Everett Henderson, for the other side of the story. We thank you, oh God, that yes, some people have made it through Proverbs 22:6. And we thank you for those who have not made it through. Because, Lord, we all are imperfect, but we serve a perfect God. So tonight, Lord God, so much is going on. We're getting ready for school, colleges. We're getting ready, oh God, to focus on learning. We're getting ready to go away to a distant land. Some might stay, some might leave. But Lord, the focus should be totally on you. So tonight, Lord, we want to lift up those parents that are hurting, oh God.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They are hurting, oh God, because they didn't get the opportunity to hear the scripture of Proverbs 22:6. The family structure wasn't set out the way that we thought it was, but Lord, we believe everything working to our good because we love you. So we lift up the hearts of broken, the parent with broken hearts, because they gave they all, they gave everything that they had. And Lord God, we lift up the children that are missing. And those are the ones with the broken heart, because there's a lot of children We look on Facebook, look on TikTok, wherever we look, missing children. And only you know where they're at, what is going on, what is happening. So tonight we've been asked to pray for the minds, the body, the eyes, the mouth, the legs, the arms. Lord, the blood. We've been asked to lift up every part of your children, from newborn all the way up to now, even your children that is grown. As they prepare for school, oh God, Lord, you know what they're going to encounter. School is not like it used to be, Lord God. It's totally different. Lord God, we ask a special blessing upon the teachers. Some is there for a job, and some is there because of the gift that you have given them to teach. So, Lord, right now in the name of your son, Jesus, we lift him up to you. As they meet and greet their children every morning, oh God, with a smile to encourage the children. Because, Lord, the bottom line, they don't know what the children been going through. They don't know what they had to do just to get into the building that morning. So, Father, strengthen your children's mind. And the only way we can ask you to do that, Lord God, we as parents, grandparents, uncle, aunties, oh God, cousin, whoever is raising the children, is to speak you into their lives. Your word, the seed. Encourage them how it's important that they are somebody. They are your children. They are not without. Even when they feel without, they are not without. So, Father, right now in the name of your son, Jesus, walk with your children, Lord God. Anoint them afresh, oh God, from their head down to their toes. Father, open their eyes so that they might see everything they need to see, Lord God, in order to learn everything they need to learn, especially your word. Plant it in their hearts, oh God, so they can make right choices when they're away from their parents, oh God. Lord, to deal with the right people, to be with the right people instead of people who are against them, such as the bullies, oh God. You know the people that... bullies, they are unhappy themselves. They want to make other people unhappy. But Lord, help them to move away from that crowd and get with a crowd that is all about you and all about learning, all about being focused on you and your will for their life. Jeremiah 29:11 told them about the plan that you have for their life, oh God, and that is to prosper and to give them hope for the future, not to harm them. So, Lord, right now in the name of your son, Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, oh God, for what you're about to do. We ask that you walk through the seed of making and touch the lives of every child, every family, Lord God, every boy, every girl, every parent, Lord God. Lord, even those that feel so alone, even in the midst of a crowd, they feel so alone. Walk with them, oh God, and anoint them afresh. Lord, give them the encouragement that they need, oh God, that they are somebody. Lord, help them to meet somebody who can tell them about you. We are supposed to go, Lord God. You told us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are your ambassador, and we're supposed to be in this field touching the lives of your children. Lord, you heard Minister Singleton tonight, a commitment just to touch a child. It is so many things that we can do to touch a child. We could do outreach, oh God. We could be in Walmart. We could be anywhere looking for an opportunity to share school supplies, clothes, or either gift cards, oh God. It's something that we could do for the children. Lord God, most of all, we can pray for them, Lord God. We can walk around the school and pray for them, oh God. No one will have to know, Lord God. But, Lord God, we know that you are for your children. Lord, forgive us all, oh God, that have for guiding the children. Lord, we just come tonight, Lord God, lifting up the parents, the grandparents, oh God, especially the single mama, oh God, especially the young mother. We got a lot of young people, young mothers, oh God. Lord, have mercy on them, oh God. They're trying, oh God, but their lives, their head are so full of lies, they just don't know which way to go, Lord God. Asking you right now tonight, Lord God, to step into their life situation, oh God, and help them to put you first, oh God, so they can put their children next, Lord God, so they can be there for their children to support them, oh God, to spend time with them, oh God, to teach them the way to go, Lord God. Help them to understand, oh God, don't need the TV to be a babysitter, don't need teenagers or grown people to keep their children while they're at work, oh God. Open up doors and avenues, oh God, for them to get a decent babysitting service, oh God. Lord, you know why I pray like that, Lord God, because, Lord, you know so many children are being hurt, and they have to live with it the rest of their lives. So, Lord, I'm just asking you to touch their body, their mind, their soul, their spirit, oh God. And, Lord, help us as parents, oh God, to take them to Sunday school, oh God, take them to church, oh God, not send them, oh God, but to take them.
Amen.
Father, we just come right now, Lord God, just realizing, oh God, it is so important, oh God, to focus on the children, whether they made it through Proverbs 22:6 or not, or some of us in the midst of it. A lot of them has returned. A lot of them did not. But, Lord, you know, Lord God, nothing is too hard for you. You can change anybody. We all have choices. So tonight, Lord God, we thank and praise you for this discussion. It's heavy duty. It really is. It's so truthful that we need to focus on the children. Besides the commitment tonight, Lord God, we can always, or we can ask a question. What about the children? So, Father, as I cast all the children in this city, in the state of Georgia, around the world, Lord God, at your care, because you told us to cast all of our cares upon you because you care about us. So tonight, Lord God, I would lift up all of these children to you. Lord, you know the wounds, you know the hurt, you know the pain. And we ask you for healing from the head to the feet. In Jesus' name, as we continue in prayer.
Father, I thank you for our dear sister that she prayed a prayer of faith, pray a prayer concerning our children and the children that are in this world. And so, Father, I thank you for that prayer. I thank you, Father, for your glory. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your divine providence over our lives. You are our sovereign God. You are God that's in control of everything. Nothing that takes place on this earth that you are not aware of. Sometimes, Father, we may look at it and not understand it. But give us understanding, Father. Give us wisdom. You say, if any of us lacks wisdom, let us come to you and ask you for it, that you would give it to us. So I ask for your wisdom tonight for all of the parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents on the line. All of the aunts, uncles that are on the line tonight. All of those that are in some position of eldership and authority over children. We pray for them right now tonight in the name of Jesus. We pray for their wisdom. We pray for their understanding. We pray for their commitment to do what they can to help the children in this world. And Father, when we think of children, we tend to think of the little ones. So we pray for the little ones as they begin to start school. We pray that you would watch over them and keep them. We pray for the safety in the school, because surely there's a threat sometimes. Who knows who may do something that doesn't even make sense to us to enter into a school. We pray for divine protection over those schools right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for them everywhere they are in their neighborhood. We pray for protection. And Father, we pray, Lord God, for those little ones, whether they be in elementary school. We pray for all the children in elementary school. Father, we pray for those who are in what we call middle school. Father, we pray for them as they are struggling through adolescence and puberty, Father. We pray, Lord God, that they would get the proper guidance, get the moral teaching, the ethical teaching, the things that they need to make them better people as they grow into adulthood. We pray for those who are in high school, Father, that you would give them clarity of mind, to not be drawn by anyone who would pull them away. Father, we heard through the proverb tonight, a principle that we are to do, to train them up in the way that they should go, and they would not depart from it. Father, we train them up according to your divine word, because you said that in a proverb, a principle, a precept that we are to do. And so we believe, Father, on the other end of that, that they would not depart, even if we don't see them in the midst of their circumstances or trouble, even if they're lost. We pray, Lord God, that you would touch their hearts where they are. So if there's any children right now tonight, that are straying away from the truth that they were taught about your word, the promises in your word, the principles in your word, the laws of your word, if they have been taught that, we pray for those children right now tonight, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would teach them wherever they are. We know that you can move by your spirit and reach out and touch them and convict their hearts right now to turn away from that which they're doing now and to turn their face back towards you, God, because you are here to receive them. If they have gone astray, it wasn't that because you're not there. It's because they turned away. And we pray, God, that they would turn back to you and to receive your grace and your mercy. And, Father God, we pray for those children that are adults. Some of us who are parents and grandparents, we have children who are adults. And we pray for those children who are grown, who have the power to exercise their will, even against our will or against your will. We say, let your will be done, God, on this earth as it is in heaven. So we pray that all would come in alignment to your will. We know we're living in a troubled world. We know that we're living in a world that the enemy tends to steal, kill, and destroy. Let him not steal our joy. Let him not destroy our children. Give us the ability to pray without ceasing, that we would pray for them, that they would be covered and protected by your blood. Covered and protected. And so tonight, Father, even for us that are grown, some of us who are grandparents, we still are children. We're somebody's children. If nothing else, we're your children, God. So we pray, Father, that we would be obedient to you, to follow your will, and that you continue to watch over us as your children. And, Father, I pray tonight and thank you tonight for all that has taken place here tonight. Father, I thank you for the prayers that have gone up tonight. Father, I thank you for the song that was sung from Zion, from glory, to honor your name. Now, Father, I thank you tonight for Sister's story and her sharing with us, her teaching in humility, for teaching truth, and through giving us examples, encouraging us tonight. I thank you tonight for Brother Everett, who shared with us the comments that he had tonight. I pray for Apostle Asaph, who has challenged us in our thoughts of principle versus promise. So, Father, we know that you have principles and promise to help us. Let us continue to grow in that grace as you spoke to us that word. Let us continue to grow in your grace and your mercy. I thank you for Deacon Connor as he tag teams with Dr. Singleton as they bring us together tonight and guide us through this journey tonight. So, Father, we just thank you for this journey tonight. Father, but surely you are with us. You are with us, and you are with us tonight, and you should always be with us even after we leave this line tonight. So, Father, let us take to plant the seed
of the word in the hearts of our children. That is a commitment that we were challenged by tonight by Dr. Singleton. We pray, Lord God, as we think about our commitment to our children, that you would give us a way to write that down, that we could see it plain. I even heard tonight that a mother puts the word, not just the chores that the child should do, but precepts and understanding of the rules and guidance of God, written scripture, so that the child can see that as well as they can see the instructions for their lives. So, Father, help us, Lord God, as we continue to move forward, that we can see honor, integrity, and self-worth built up in our children. But, Father, we can see them built up and we build them up. Let us not tear them down with our mouths and our tongues. Let us speak life into them. Let us speak life into them and encouragement so that we can see those children grow. And so, Father, as we leave this line tonight, here again, we don't leave your presence. Speak to us, Lord. Guide us. Hear our prayers as we cry out to you about our children. But also, Father, give us hope to believe in your promises that you will bring it to pass. Let us stay faithful to your trust. And let us not lean to our own understanding, Father, but we will acknowledge you in everything that we do. Continue to direct us in our everyday life, that we might bring glory and honor to your name. Father, I pray this prayer, and we pray these prayers tonight. We pray it in the power of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is in his name I pray this prayer. Amen. 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 Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. We thank you all so much for being on the line tonight. We thank you for the opening prayer, the opening song. We thank you for all the prayer warriors, and we thank especially Sister Tori Story for deliverance of that great word tonight. We thank you for all the participants that gave their wonderful comments and everything. And we thank you so much for Out of the Ministries, Gates of Prayer, Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, and Enlightening Ministries. We thank you so much for being a part of this ministry. If there's no other comments, we will conclude this session this evening and say good night.
Amen.
Good night. Good night. Thank you all so much for joining with us. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you for joining us. Good night. Thank you for joining us. We will be uploading this recording to our website.
Amen. Amen.
And also, we are going to also add this to our YouTube. We are working on a YouTube channel, and this will be one of the sessions that we will be uploading to YouTube. So, thank you all so much for participating on tonight, and we will be getting those commitment cards out to you as well. Commitment cards that will align with Scripture. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank
you
for having us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good night.
Thank you, Sister Ebony. Brother Alante, awesome. Thank you all for coming. Thank you, Sister Tony. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Sister Maddie.
Good night, Sister Ruby.
Good night,
good night
Sister
Maddie.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good night,
Sister Girl.
And everybody.
Good night. See y'all tomorrow.
All right.
Now, Mama, I'll call you by the time I get Jiggy in bed.
All right.
All right. Bye, y'all. Love y'all.